All right. Tonight, I would like to invite you over to the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verse 15. Genesis, chapter 50, verse 15. Genesis, chapter 50, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence. We do ask you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might empower our lives with your great grace to be the witnesses that you've called us to be in this dark and dying world. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise. Again, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply 17 Years of Unbelief. 17 Years of Unbelief. And the reason why it's entitled that is because Genesis 47:28 says, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years." And so he was there for 17 years, and Joseph had already revealed himself to his brothers, had already told them that they intended it for evil, but God meant it for good, and they still harbored that. They still walked in the unbelief. They said, "Oh, Joseph's going to get us now." And you'll notice it wasn't for one thing, it was for all the evil that we did unto him. You remember when he was giving the revelations, and there were probably other things that took place that were not told of that they did to their brother. And it's amazing, really, how God's grace truly is sufficient to enable Joseph to go through all of those things in the right attitude. We go through things, but do we go through it by the Spirit of God with the right attitude, the heart of forgiveness, the heart of love? And I can certainly look back in my salvation and say I have not always done that. Amen. In fact, I will tell you that I did not. So here it is, ready? When somebody mistreats us, we can look at them and smile. But what's happening on the inside is the real matter, right? If we're just, as they say, biting our tongues, that's not the Spirit of God. That's our strength, right? And so the Lord enables us to look at them and love them with a merciful God, merciful love, I'm sorry, from God. And so God wants us to have that kind of a love and that kind of a testimony that is genuinely from him. And so when we walk in unbelief, we forfeit God's peace and his promises at the same time. So I just want to take a few moments this evening and look at three thoughts here in our text. And that is a heart of humility. That was Joseph's dependence on the Lord. And then secondly, I want to just take a brief moment, look at God's blessings on Joseph's humility. And again, that's still dependence on the Lord. And then God's mercy missed and misunderstood from his brothers. So back up with me to verse 1. And I want you to consider this, and that is a heart of humility. So here we find the account, we're not going to back up there, in chapter 49, that Jacob died and was gathered to his people. And notice, now remember where Joseph's position is. He's already been told that he is the second to Pharaoh. Did he not? Was he not told that when Pharaoh put him into position, gave him a ring, said, only I'm going to be greater in the throne than you are, but you're going to be the ruler of this land. I'm putting everything into your hands. Isn't that amazing? Listen, didn't Potiphar do that as well? Isn't that amazing? Didn't the prison guard do the same thing? The prison keeper put everything into his hands. And listen, things work right when things are put into the children of God's hands that are walking and that are empowered by the grace of God. So look at this heart of humility. Again, he's the second in control. I don't think he needed to do this, but he did because of his humility. And Joseph fell
upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Isn't that amazing? And then notice this in verse 4. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake to the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray ye, in the ears of Pharaoh. So he's going to the house, to the people that are over the house of Pharaoh, and he's speaking to them to go on his behalf to Pharaoh himself. I believe if Joseph wanted to, he could have walked to Pharaoh himself, and Pharaoh would have certainly opened up the opportunity to speak to him any time. He's the one that kept Egypt, or I should say God used him to keep Egypt from demise, really. And I think Pharaoh understood and he knew that, just like the prison guard knew that God was blessing him, and just like Potiphar knew that God was blessing his household because of Joseph, there's no doubt in mind that Pharaoh also knew that Egypt was saved because of Joseph. But he goes and he petitions the house of Pharaoh to go unto Pharaoh and make this request. Look at verse 5. My father made me swear, saying, lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. So here we find, even though he didn't try to use his, how would you say, position, right? He didn't try to use his position. He humbly approached, being dependent upon the Lord to make this take place, that it would be in the heart of Pharaoh. And so that is the heart of humility, or Joseph's dependence upon the Lord. And then I want to look at God's blessings on Joseph's humility. Look at verse 6 right here, and notice what it says. It says, and Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear. That's what he wanted to hear. Don't you believe that? He was no doubt glad to hear what was told him. And then notice this, verse 7. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Talk about a procession. Talk about high regard and respect for his dad. And no doubt that was well-pleasing to Joseph and his family. And so verse 8 picks up and it says, and all the house of Joseph and all his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And so we find here God blessing, opening up the doors, and I think it went probably better than he would have ever even expected. And so God is blessing this. And I would dare say that he maybe stepped back and said, look at what God has opened up. Look at what God is doing. Verse 9, and there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor at Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave that is of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. Now, question, what do you think's maybe possibly going on in the mind of Joseph? What do you think might be taking place? A couple of things might be going on. I would dare say, first of all, he's thanking the Lord for allowing the burial to take place exactly as, in fact, I would dare say, even better than anticipated. Isn't that the way the Lord does things? Even better than we could have ever expected. Did you ever ask God for something and he'd do it even better than you could have planned it out, right? And I will tell you, if that hasn't happened on this side of eternity, you're surely going to be taken by what's to come in eternal life. Because I have no clue, but I am convinced, because the Bible says it hasn't entered into the heart or into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I'm convinced, I'll be the first one to say, my mouth's going to be on the floor, my jaw's going to be on the floor, however you want to make that expression. And I think all of God's people are going to be praising God. Oh, I can't even, where do you begin? A body that will never grow old. Amen. A body that will never hurt. Never hurt. I dare say when you hit a certain age, you just kind of learn how to live with pain, right? Or some hurts and aches, and you just figure, well, this is it. You know, I mean, I'll just have to watch and be careful that I don't move in certain ways too fast or whatever the case might be. But one day that will be a thing of the past. And so we'll be in awe of the Lord. And then also, of course, burying his dad, a sad time. And yet, does Joseph have hope of eternal life? Does Joseph have hope of seeing his dad again one day? Well, he surely did. And now that's been fulfilled some thousands of years ago, right? And so Joseph and Jacob, or Israel, and his whole family is in heaven right now in the very presence of God, praising and worshiping the Lord. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so when we see God's blessings on Joseph's humility or his dependence upon the Lord, he has been brought to the place of worship. See, when God works for us, when we call upon the Lord, we're saying, Lord, I believe you're going to do something for me. You've asked me, you've said you promised to do things for me, so I'm going to ask you to do them, and I want you to bring that to pass. And by the way, I just want you to know, sometimes you got to knock on the door, and knock on the door for more than just a month, more than just two sometimes, maybe more than just a year. Certain things, I'm still knocking on the door for my dad's salvation and my mom's salvation, and I'll keep knocking on the door because my God said, our God said that he answers quickly. Amen. And well, it just seems like it's been forever. Well, I do want to ask you about life. I used to tell my students, see, because I was 28, 29, and they thought I was an old person. They did. Back in 1991, right? 91, I think it was. And I told them the little story about this fellow when I was 19, that he was 25 years old. And I said, you're going to blink, and you're going to pass 25 years old. You know what? Listen, I want you to know, I understood how fast life was at that point. I just didn't think it was this fast. Amen? And so one of those sixth graders, because I taught 6th through 12th grade, and they incorporated the sixth graders in with the junior high at that particular time. One of those sixth graders came and preached for us, Wyatt Otten. You remember him? Blonde-haired fellow, 40s. He was in his early 40s, I think it was. And so, like that, life goes by. But wait, you and I are anticipating a day that will never end. Isn't that something? And a place that will go beyond our wildest imaginations because of who God is. And then lastly, I want you to see something that I think this is the real crux of the message right here. God's mercy missed and misunderstood by the brothers of Joseph. And God doesn't want us to miss his mercy and his promises or to misunderstand them. Look at verse 15 here. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, Well, this has been a while. This has been a while. So the funeral's over, right? And now they're gathering together after this procession. My goodness, remember, before they took him to Canaan, they mourned for him. And when they took him to Canaan, they mourned another 7 days. And then now they trek back. So there's a lot of time that has elapsed over here. But I think Joseph's brethren are coming to the place where, okay, that was a sad time, but now Joseph is going to pick up with life. And dad's gone. And now Joseph's going to give us what for, because the what for we gave him, right? That is the flesh. And that is the natural realm. And I want you to know, they are the 12 tribes of God. And they are no doubt in heaven because of the grace of God, But they misunderstood the mercy of God, didn't they? So notice this, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And this is, listen, they believed this. They were afraid. They were living in fear. They were surely concerned. They were surely perplexed and bothered by this. And notice what they did. Verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. Now, I'm not going to say, I don't know if that's made up or not. I don't know if his dad really said that to them. But I will tell you that they are afraid of Joseph at this particular point. And they're truly concerned, and they're saying, "Don't forget your dad, right? To forgive us." And so he says, "I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, forgive them, for they did unto thee evil." You know what this is? It's a confession. They're confessing, "We did evil." See, there's no forgiveness, there's no mercy, and there's no grace until we really confess before the Lord we're guilty. So, you know, the world talks about, well, if God is real, why does he allow all this evil to prevail? If God was just, why does he? Well, if God was just, we'd all be gone. Because all of us have fallen. All of us have sin in us, and so we all deserve the judgment of God, not the mercy of God. And so they really misunderstand, and they say, well, you know, why would, well, God doesn't make us robots. You have a choice. Now, here again, I'll just share this with you. I really believe the Lord has interwoven, because he knows the end from the very beginning. He saw what everybody was going to do. I don't understand that. This is just conjecture on my part. And I believe he's interwoven his will in through time, in through history, knowing what we're going to do and giving us opportunity and free will. We're not robots. The world doesn't understand that. And everything will come before the judge one day for judgment. And yes, Hitler, if he's rejected the Lord, he's going to give an account. And so are all these other people that have rejected the Lord. And so he says, listen, I want you to know that forgive them. Verse 17, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Did you see that now? And now if you won't forgive your brothers, forgive the servants of your God. Amen. I mean, let's take this up a notch. Remember who they are, of the God of thy father. And then notice this, what did Joseph do? And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Question, why did he weep? Because that was the farthest thing from his heart. He had truly forgiven them. Maybe he wept also because maybe he thought, you know, for 17 years my brothers have been living a miserable existence, thinking that the day my dad died, the day our father died, that I was going to do something to them. You know, another thing is this, ready? They did not believe me 17 years ago when I revealed myself to them, saying that you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Don't be upset. Joseph may have experienced all of those emotions because of their unbelief. They did not believe what Joseph told them. And by the way, Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also believe that God's children live a miserable life of unbelief when they neglect all of the promises that God has already given, and for whatever reason they choose not to believe that. But that doesn't mean that it's not true, right? When you consider Joseph, his mercy and his forgiveness to his brothers were true, right? And so Joseph wept, again, in verse 17 there at the end of it, when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. How well do you think they're receiving this idea? They're bowing down. They're still afraid. And Joseph said unto them, verse 19, Fear not, For am I in the place of God? That's a good question. Why you're coming down here? You're like you forgot that I answer to the Lord, and that I am willing and wanting to do what God wants me to do. I'm not your judge, is what he's saying. I don't have the right, and I don't even have animosity. I don't have any pent-up anger, any feelings of remorse for forgiving you. I don't have any of that because I see, listen, you know what Joseph saw? Listen, he didn't see his brothers. He saw God working through his brothers. Listen, he also saw and understood that his dream was fulfilled, and I don't understand this, but I'm going to tell you, through Joseph's brother's wickedness. When he sold him to the Ishmaelites, that's the vehicle God used. So question, did God plan or did God know that his brothers were going to do that? And Joseph, now looking back, sees that God knew that his brothers were going to do that, and that was the way God allowed to bring Joseph into Egypt. And did God bless and more than make up for all of that, at least, listen, not by his wife and not by his two sons, but at least in his own heart, to know God in a supernatural way of how God works. Even through adversity, there was peace and there was joy. Why? Remember? Because God was with him. And let me ask you this. Are we willing to trust the Lord in all things and know that God is with us? I don't know. Listen, it takes God to bring us through all the trials. And when he does that kind of a work, and I'm not saying that they're easy. I don't make light of them. I want you to know I'm affected just like anybody else with these things. I am not here saying, bring it on, God. You know, let me unload it on me. I will tell you, I have never been through a trial. And Joseph, I think, would tell you the same thing. When he was falsely accused, he did not feel terrific about it. The comfort he received, he was comforted by the Lord. And then when he was thrown into prison, it was not a wonderful experience, but he did get the comfort of the Lord. And then when he was placed over all the prisoners, and then he was able to reveal the dreams to the butler and the baker and how that all transpired, as he looked back, he could see, could he not? The presence of God, the guidance of God, the direction of God, the will of God for his life taking place. And that's something I think of great value. And so he says, I'm not in the place of God. Verse 20. But as for you, he reminds them, you thought evil against me, but God, listen, meant or intended it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, and they know it too, to save much people alive. 17 years later, to save not only you, he's reminding them. You know what he's reminding them of? The story hasn't changed. You meant it for bad. God meant it for good. Now go with the good. Live with the good. And realize and worship God for the mercy for the evil that he's forgiven you of. And by the way, listen, God knew this in eternity past, that they were going to do all those things. And God has forgiven them. By the way, God also forgives us. And he knew in eternity past all of our failures. Now we don't want to walk in those failures, but we certainly need the Lord to walk in the victory. So he says this. He says, verse 21, now therefore, listen to what he said to them. What were they? They were afraid of Joseph, were they not? Listen to what Joseph is saying. Now therefore, because of God's plan, he says, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. Fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Isn't that something? See, if somebody does you wrong and you forgive them, right? Somebody does you wrong and you forgive them. How do you receive that forgiveness? You're forgiven. Right? You're forgiven. They're not going to feel forgiven, are they? But if you say, you're forgiven, let's go out to lunch, my treat. What? Do you think they'll feel really forgiven? Yeah. We went the extra mile, didn't we? We went above board, restoring, especially a brother or a sister in Christ, to restore them in right fellowship with the Lord. Do you think God honors that and blesses that? He does. You know why? Because we wouldn't do that in a million years on our own. It has to be the Lord. In other words, that we genuinely not, I'm not just going to do that because I think I'm supposed to. I want to do that. I want them to come back. Listen, question. When we fail the Lord and ask for forgiveness, do you think God is just like, well, okay, again, I'm going to forgive you? Or do you think he says, oh, come on. I want you back. I want you back in right fellowship. And so that's the spirit and the work of God. Now, I want you to see this last part here. And the reason why is because, do you remember, Joseph was next to the youngest. So he says, everything's going to be fine. And notice what it says in verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Now, wait a minute. Who are the brethren? No. Joseph has gotten to the end of his life, 110 years old. The brothers are probably gone, except for Benjamin maybe, right? The brothers, who's he talking to? The children of his brothers. He's passing down the baton of what to do with his body. God's going to take us out. God's going to fulfill the promise he made to Abraham. So, and Joseph said, verse 24, unto his brethren, I die, and God might visit you, if he feels like it. Is that what your Bible says? No. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And question, when God delivered them, did they take Joseph's bone? And again, this was to his children. I'm sorry, his brother's children, right? And so, look at the faithfulness. Where does that come from? God. That's where it doesn't come from us. It comes from the Lord. And so the brothers lived for 17 years in unbelief. But praise God, I think they came to it finally the second time around. I believe, this is conjecture on my part, there was such a near relationship with his brothers from that moment on. I believe that he loved his brothers and their children and committed this and said, look how faithful God has been. And he could have complained about, well, look what your dads did to, he didn't, did he? I think the first time Joseph said this to his brothers, he forgot all about it. The second time for sure. And if anything was ever said, it would have only been said by the fathers. Look, we did your uncle Joseph wrong. And he has been very merciful. And listen to him, because God has used him. He told us about this dream from a young teenage boy. God was working with your Uncle Joseph. Listen to what he has to say, because he will point you to his God. Amen. To our God. And that's the greatest thing. So God does not want us to walk in unbelief, but he does want us to realize God's mercy, his forgiveness, and his grace that he wants to empower our lives with. Because listen, when we walk, do you think the brothers walked a little bit differently and enjoyed their lives a lot better? And do you think they were able to encourage their children in the right way? Why? Because they were the personal recipients of this mercy of God and this grace of God. Do you know that God wants you and I also to be personal recipients of his grace? Do you know that will do more for the lost world than anything we could ever tell them? Our personal experience with God. And that's what the Lord wants us to have and wants us to enjoy, wants us to walk in, and wants us to grow in. So tonight, God's invitation is, believe on me. Amen? Amen? Believe on me. Call on me and watch what I'll do. Call on me, amen, to fulfill the promises that he's given to all of his children. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Once again, we thank you for your great mercy and your great grace, Lord. May we call upon you that we would experience it to a greater degree. Bless your people, bless your church, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.